Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from 2 Samuel chapter 21. Again, that is 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we'll be reading the entire chapter for today's passage. Now, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord said, "There is blood guilt on Saul and on his house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the people of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. Although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them, Saul had sought to strike them down in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah. And David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And how shall I make atonement, that you may bless the heritage of the Lord?" The Gibeonite said to him, "It is not a matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house. Neither is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." And he said, "What do you say that I shall do for you?" They said to the king, "The man who consumed us and planned to destroy us, so that we should have no place in all the territory of Israel, let 7 of his sons be given to us, so that we may hang them before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the oath of the Lord that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. The king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Merab, the daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the mountain before the Lord, and the 7 of them perished together. They were put to death in the first days of harvest, at the beginning of barley harvest. Then Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until rain fell upon them from the heavens. And she did not allow the birds of the air to come upon them by day, or the beasts of the field by night. When David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done, David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the public square of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines killed Saul on Gilboa. And he brought up from there the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan, and they gathered the bones of those who were hanged. And they buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the land of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish his father. And they did all that the king commanded, and after that God responded to the plea of the land. There was war again between the Philistines and Israel, and David went down together with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines. And David grew weary. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze, and who was armed with a new sword, thought to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." After this, there was again war with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushathite struck down Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. And there was again war with the Philistines at Gob. And Elhanan, the son of Jaare-Oregim, the Bethlehemite, struck down Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was descended from the giants. And when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Amen. In this passage, we see a famine come over Israel during the time of David, and it's revealed that this famine is occurring because of a past sin committed by Saul that was not yet dealt with. Saul is already dead during the time of this passage, but when he was alive, he had tried to take down a people group called the Gibeonites. Verse 2 says, "Although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them, Saul had sought to strike them down in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah." And in this passage, David tries to make things right between Israel and the Gibeonites who were attacked and oppressed by Saul. David asks them, "What shall I do for you, and how shall I make atonement that you may bless the heritage of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites respond very humbly, saying, "It is not a matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house. Neither is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." What the Gibeonites end up asking for is 7 of Saul's sons to be handed over to them so that they would be hung. At first glance, this might sound cruel because they're asking for people's death. But this was actually a very reasonable request at the time. The Gibeonites were slaughtered as a people under Saul's oppression, but they don't ask for equal compensation. Saul is already dead, so what they are asking for is merely justice for what Saul has done to them in the form of his sons. Once this happens, Rizpah, a mother of 2 of the 7 sons who were hung, spread sackcloth over the place where they died, basically holding a vigil for them. And David, seeing this, has compassion on her and publicly buries them alongside the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. And after this, God reveals his grace to his people by responding to the plea of the land about the famine. In the next section of the passage, we see more of God's revelation of grace through Israel's battling of the Philistines. David, who was once a great warrior, now is no longer the great fighter like he used to be. Maybe he's gotten older, or maybe he just lost some of his gusto. But even still, we see David and his servants rising above the Philistines in battle, even against very formidable enemies that are described in this passage. Again, a display of God's grace, just like the ending of the famine. So, what can we learn from this passage? I think it's clear that God wants for us to acknowledge our sin, especially ones that might have been undealt with, and reconcile quickly. We see in this passage that Israel had to endure years of famine because of a past sin that hadn't been addressed. And when we do address it, it's evident that God's grace is waiting to pour out on us. As soon as David reconciled with the Gibeonites, God responded to the famine in the land and continued to show favor in Israel's battles against the Philistines. So let's come before God today in repentance of our sin, seeking reconciliation with Him. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, not so that we could stay in a place of guilt and shame, but so that we would return to Him and live life fully with Him like He designed for us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you that you are a God who is slow to anger and quick to show mercy. I pray that we would desire to quickly reconcile our relationship with you by addressing our sin and trusting in the work of Jesus that already cleanses us. Thank you for your grace, and may we have a constant posture in our hearts of repentance and humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.